Okay, good evening, everyone. We're going to continue. I'm sorry for the little bit of a late start. We're going to continue with halachos of the davening. The Mishnah Berurah says that a person should not daven opposite a mirror. Now, a lot of people think the reason why a person shouldn't daven opposite a mirror is because it looks like a person is davening to themselves. Actually, the Mishnah Berurah says that the reason why a person shouldn't daven opposite a mirror is because it looks like they are bowing. It seems that they are bowing to themselves. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that this is even with a person's eyes who are closed, or if a sitter is in their face, because if their eyes are open, then anyways are not allowed, because that's a distraction. We discussed in the last shir on Matzah Shabbos, the ideas of distractions in front of a person. So anyways, that wouldn't be allowed. But even if a person's eyes are closed, it's because it looks as if a person is bowing to themselves. And there are some Paiskim that say that in a dire situation, a person would be allowed to daven in front of a mirror, because when they bow, then the person in the mirror is also bowing at the same time. So it doesn't really look like you're bowing to yourself. So perhaps a person could be lenient, but it's definitely preferable not to. There are those that say by reflection in a window, especially at night, also it's preferable not. The Stipler says a person shouldn't daven over there. Over there, perhaps it's even more possible to be lenient. There are other poskim that say that a person can be lenient when it's just a reflection in the window, but the best would be to avoid a mirror, and preferably even in the reflection of a mirror. Once we've discussed distractions, let's discuss a little bit about interruptions. The Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch say very strict halachos not to talk in the middle of Shemona Esrei. And of course, for sakanos nefashos, if somebody is, you know, a person could, there's pikuach nefesh involved, the person could die, then of course a person is allowed to. But otherwise, for sure, a person that's obvious, not allowed to talk in the middle of Shemona Esrei, but also all other interruptions, motioning to other people, looking at a person's cell phone, to wink, to gesture to somebody during Shemona Esrei, for sure, that is not allowed. The Gemara even says if a snake is on a person's leg, then a person is not allowed to remove it. Even if, unless a person can tell that it's about to bite, or perhaps a scorpion that usually bites, but even a snake, a person would not be allowed to move, or a bug or a cockroach or something is very, very hard not to, but a person has to be careful about that. If a person is in shul and the shliach tzibur, the congregation is up to kedusha, then should a person answer kedusha, that's nikadesh and kadosh, 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 and yimloich and baruch kavod, as we know? So the halacha is, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that a person should finish that bracha, and then listen to the chazan. Don't answer, but just listen to the chazan, and that is shomea ka'ona. When a person listens, then that's as if they are answering, but that is an important halacha for women who go to shul. If they are in the middle of Shemona Esrei, when the chazan is up to kedusha, then they should just finish that bracha and just simply listen to the chazan say the kedusha. The only time a person would be allowed to motion to someone or walk somewhere is when you are not able to concentrate for a specific reason, and you know there's something distracting you and you want to be able to fix that. Still, a person is not allowed to talk, but if you need to motion to a child to be quiet or to calm a baby down that is crying, then a person can do that in the middle of Shemona Esrei. If that doesn't help, a person could walk away. Even in the middle of Shemona Esrei, a person could walk to the other room, to a different area. The best would be if somebody else could take care of it, or if you could motion to somebody else to take the child away. But if you can't, you could walk away. If a siddur or a sefer falls on the floor and a person just can't concentrate on their Shemona Esrei, when they see, you know, 10 feet from them a siddur or a sefer, a chumash on the floor, the Mishnah Berurah says a person is allowed to go over in the middle of Shemona Esrei and pick it up. Preferably a person should finish the bracha first, but a person is allowed to go and pick it up in the middle of Shemona Esrei. If a person realizes they have the wrong machzer or a page is ripped in their siddur, a person is allowed to go even in the middle of Shemona Esrei and go get a different one. If you thought you knew it by heart and then you realize that you don't know it by heart, you're allowed to go get a sitter, but it's better for motion to somebody else to get it. But if you need to go get a new sitter, you're allowed to. Rabbi Yashiv says if the doorbell is ringing or someone is knocking and it doesn't stop and therefore you can't concentrate, then a person is allowed to go open the door. If honestly a person can't concentrate, don't talk, just open the door and return to daven. Anytime you need to pause in Shemona Esrei, a person has to be careful not to wait too long, because if a person waits the amount of time that it takes them to daven Shmona Esrei from beginning to end, let's say it takes a person 5 minutes to daven the whole Shmona Esrei. So even if they're towards the end of Shmona Esrei, but if they pause for more than 5 minutes, then they need to start the Shmona Esrei all over. So even if a person needs, you know, they're allowed to go get the siddur, or they're allowed to pick up the siddur, or motion to a child, or go to a different room, or answer the door, these examples that we've been saying, but a person should not pause for a long time, and the person should not talk. They should just take care of whatever they need to take care of. And this idea of, you know, not doing other things during Shemona Esrei, even if a person's not going to walk away or not going to talk or motion, but it's very important that, you know, we're not doing other things when we daven. The Gemara in Brachos, the Vav Amabei, says that davening is one of the things that's berumay shel olam. It's from very, very lofty things. It's tremendous how the schus that we have to daven. Yet people, the Gemara says that people take it very lightly. They don't realize how amazing it is that we have the opportunity to daven. And so many times we wonder how come our tfilos are not accepted. How come Hashem doesn't answer our tefillos, it seems? And this perhaps is one of the reasons. I know my father talks about this. He says in regards to people who talk during Chazaras Hashatz, at least, you know, especially for men that are in shul, often someone who talks during Chazaras Hashatz, it's as if a person tells Hashem, listen, this is not so important to me, I don't really care about it. Well, if a person says, you know, gives over the impression that they don't really care about it, then how could they expect Hashem to answer their tefillos? Someone once came to the Satmar Rebbe and he said, I dive into the Eibishter, and the Eibishter entered nisht, and that the Hashem doesn't answer. And the Samar Rebbe answered that entered nisht, meaning he answers no. And a lot of times Hashem listens to our tefillos, but for whatever reason, for calculations that we don't understand, Hashem says no to our tefillos. And so many times we want to know why. How come Hashem didn't answer our tefillos? And perhaps if a person, something we all have to work on, to concentrate more during davening and give davening the proper kavod, not to walk around the room while we daven, to give the davening the proper kavod, that is a extra segula to have our tefillos answered. One other segula to have our tefillos answered, and then we'll stop with this, is the Chafetz Chaim says, based on the pasuk in Mishlei, the pasuk says, Yesh mis asher, they're those that are rich, they ain't kol, but they really have nothing. And what does that mean? That the pasuk in Mishlei is telling us that there are some people that make a lot of money. We know this, you know, we all know people like this. They make hundreds of thousands of dollars, but they can't pay their bills. Why can't they pay their bills? Because they have such high, you know, they're what we call high maintenance, and they have such high hasagas of how they need to live. They need to have the fanciest cars, and they need to have this, and they need to have that, and they have the special clothes. So they can make a lot of money, but they're struggling to pay their bills. And that's if the same idea, says the Chafetz Chaim, in regards to Lashon Hara. A person could daven and daven and daven, but if they use their mouth for Lashon Hara or for saying not nice things, making people feel bad, getting into machlokas, so they could daven, they could use their mouth for many, many tefillos, but in the end it won't be accepted, because even if they make a lot, they have a lot of tefillos, but there ends up their assets are not, you know, in the positive, because they are taken away because of what they use their mouth for bad things. So that's something that we need to keep in mind in regards to, we always want our tefillos to be accepted, to give davening the proper kavod, not to be motioning to others, not to be putting on a coat while we're davening, and not to be texting anyone while we daven. And also, as the Chafetz Chaim tells us, to be careful with our mouth. In this way, when Hashem sees that our mouth is used only for good purposes, then He will, Bez Hashem, answer our tefillos. Okay, everybody should have a good night.